Welcome to At Sixes and Sevens podcasts. And today I'm very happy that Chef Ruth Manchester is joining us for a discussion of professional chefing and also the importance of that profession to the rest of us. And we're going to talk a little bit about her advice to people between 60 and 80 on the subject of eating out, eating at the best places, eating well-prepared food. Nutrition, well-prepared food, has great power to influence us. It fully engages our senses as it enriches our experience of eating. It inspires our thoughts and feelings about our well-being. Because of this extended value beyond satisfying hunger, being a professional chef is both a communication enterprise and a creative contribution to our lives. A chef connects us to ourselves and connects us to others as we dine on and enjoy the unique combinations, flavors, and artistry of food exquisitely presented. Ruth Manchester is a particularly gifted chef who also owns the Bramble Inn in Brewster, Massachusetts on Cape Cod. She does private chefing in Florida. I've asked her to join us by Skype from Florida for the February 23rd, 2015 podcast at Sixes and Sevens. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you. Thanks. Nice to be with you.
I know from experience that you create dishes and you serve food as a gift each and every time you open your restaurant. What led you to become a chef?
Mostly my family, because they were very involved in having a garden, raising food. My mother grew up running a butcher shop for my grandparents and taught me at a very young age how to hold a knife and be in the kitchen.
So you had experience with raw food?
Yes.
As a child?
That's correct,
and,
yeah.
And rather than discouraging you, it opened you to the possibilities.
Oh, yes. My mother was great at being in the kitchen, but she was a terrible cook, so I kind of learned to take over quickly.
How long have you worked with food? You said
all
you,
my life,
you got,
yeah.
All your life. Mm.
Pretty much, yeah.
And your first professional experience was early?
Well, I did waitressing as a youngster growing up. I lived in Needham, a suburb of Boston, and I worked in restaurants there during high school and college just for extra money, but just to be around food. I've always loved the workings of a kitchen.
You enjoy that hubbub?
And the, I do.
And the challenge?
Never a dull moment.
Right. And when you started chefing, because we're talking to an audience of people who are between 60 and 80, when you started chefing, were you unusual because you were a woman?
Yes. Yeah, there weren't too many of us. And I kind of had to make it up as I go along. I majored in art when I was in high school. And my mother wanted me to go off to art school, but I just somehow couldn't get out of the kitchen. So I do my art on the plate.
On the plate. I can attest to the fact that you do that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Beautiful, beautiful presentations.
Thank you.
Tell me this. Have you stayed in the profession all your adult life without any break?
I did stop for a bit, having children and so forth, but then as they got older, we bought the inn when they were just young preteens, so we went back to it. My husband Cliff and I got very involved in it again.
And Cliff doesn't cook, though?
He makes breakfast for the inn guests.
I see. But the professional chef is you, and
yes.
He's kind of a support for the enterprise.
He is. He runs the front of the house, and that's his domain. So I try not to cross that line.
Did you ever work for any big corporate restaurant?
No.
No. So you've always done all of the cooking.
Yes, I'm pretty much self-taught. All my recipes are my own, and whatever I create is from my sleepless nights.
I see. Have you written a cookbook? Do you want to write a cookbook?
I don't. We've been approached before to do it, but I think with the internet access these days, a cookbook, I don't know if it would be that profitable. So you have to be pretty famous to sell a cookbook, and unfortunately, we aren't in that league.
We'll change directions a little bit.
Sure.
What goals do you have today, starting today, as a chef?
As a chef, I'd like to continue doing what I'm doing for as long as I can. I can't imagine any other way of life. And we both love the Bramble, and we love our customer base and our employees. Many of them have been with us for almost over 25 years, so it's family.
And do you feel you can physically stay in the kitchen, let's say, after 80?
Probably not. I worked at Chillingsworth many, many years ago, and the old chef there, an old French chef, I watched him in his late 70s, early 80s, and it became really tough for him. We became good friends, and I saw what a tough life that was for someone that age. So realistically, even now, I don't do as much as I used to. I'm in the kitchen every day, but I don't do the hotline at night, because it's just after working all day, that 15th hour is a little tough.
Right. It seems to me to be the challenge for anyone reinventing him or herself over 60, that
yeah.
being a professional chef as opposed to a very good cook is full of obstacles, physical obstacles.
It is. It's a long, hard day. You're on your feet quite a bit. As I said, 15, 16, 17 hours sometimes. And though I'm tall and slim and in pretty good shape and I do work out, it's still I don't have the stamina that I had 20 years ago. Disappointing. I wish I still did, but I don't.
No, no. So you need over 60, you need a little more support.
Yes.
From other employees. And
absolutely.
Which of the tasks, besides standing on your feet for several hours, which of the tasks do you find most daunting at this point in your career?
Other than standing on my feet, really, I think that's the biggest one. I just get really tired being upright so long. But as far as cooking and butchering and chopping and all of that, I still seem to be able to do that without any trouble. It's just I have to sit down every now and then. If I'm on my feet for more than a 4 or 5 hour stretch, I need to learn to take a break, which is a hard thing to.
I would
you
bet.
You know, that's hard. That's hard to do.
I would bet. I'm sure you have to be encouraged to rest because you do so much fine preparation.
Yes, and I'm a complete power freak, control freak, so it's hard for me to let go and let someone else do it. That's been a big, difficult thing for me over the past few years, to try to delegate rather than do it myself. So it's a learning process, even at my age.
Right. Do you find that your creativity is increasing the longer you stay in the kitchen, in the profession? Do you find that your recipes are being refined by your own gifts, by the way your mind works?
Absolutely. And just, we're in Naples in the winter, and then we always go to Paris in the spring. So we're constantly looking to see what other chefs are doing, visiting nice restaurants, reading about new food trends. We try to keep as current as we can. And through that knowledge, we're evolving even some of our old recipes and plate presentations to try to bring them up to what's modern and kind of with it now. So it's a constant education.
Right. It seems to me that one of the things that people do a lot between 60 and 80 is eat out.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I wonder whether you, as a person presenting exquisite food, what your advice to people would be for finding regular during the week great food in their neighborhoods?
Well, just going out and trying, I think. There's a lot of Brewster and the Cape. We're blessed with some great little spots from fine dining to a great little place to get a hamburger. So, you know, going out and trying, being careful with a lot of fried things, doing that only on a special occasion. But there's a lot of wonderful places around to go to. And so just keep going and trying.
That's good advice. And fun too, enjoyable.
Yes.
Do you do anything in your restaurant to entice people to return?
Well, we try to have a good value and a nice meal. So we hope that brings them back time and again. And we have a really friendly, well-trained staff. And it's a cute little place. Atmosphere, I think, also goes along with whatever we do in the kitchen. If we can have the front of the house make people feel welcome, which they do, and give them a nice value, I think we're doing our job.
And by value, you mean not to charge, not to overcharge, or
right.
Be pretentious in the charging for what beautiful
exactly.
Things you offer. Yeah.
We have been accused of being a little on the pricier end of some of the other finer dining restaurants, but we do use really quality ingredients, and we won't skimp on that to try and lower the price. So it's important to us to serve nothing but the best.
Right. And besides that, you're a real asset to the restaurant. How you cook and the care you take in preparing and presenting the food. I think from my own point of view, it's necessary if you're going to go and eat out on a regular basis to have that assurance that someone's in charge and
yes.
Someone with standards and someone who knows how to do menus and so on.
Well, that's the nice part about having a staff that's been with us for so long. They definitely know how we want things done. And I'm in there riding the broom around every now and then just to make sure that it's going the way I want it to. And I'm lucky to have a very talented young chef with me now. He's been with me for about 3 years now. And he has no agenda. He's wonderful about doing things exactly the way I want them. So that makes me happy.
Right. Well, he must understand that the standards you're setting, the teaching you're doing, is worthwhile.
I think it's a two-way street. I think it's beneficial for both of us, so I'm happy to have him.
Tell me this. When you are in the kitchen and you're thinking about yourself, do you use the word cooking? Or do you use the word chefing? Or do you use the word artist? Or do you use some other word that I haven't thought of to describe yourself?
It's definitely cooking. It's been cooking my whole life. So.
I see. Well, I think that's why people think they can do your job once they have the time to do it. You know,
absolutely.
Once they've retired from some other high-powered profession, they think they can come in and do yours. Give me several reasons why they can't.
It's a little bit more than just cooking. You have to understand the whole dynamic of it all. Running a kitchen, it's a hot, steamy place, and tempers flare sometimes, and I don't like tempers in the kitchen, so you really have to keep your cool. And I've been told many times that I'm pretty cool and have grace under fire, actually, which is, I think, the nicest thing people can say about our kitchen. People, professionals who've worked with us, that we don't generally lose it, and it's a place where you can lose it.
That's such an interesting point, Ruth, because television cooking shows seem to have an agenda to show that chefs are ill-mannered and somewhat unstable and maybe 100 other descriptions. And that is not true for the most part, is it? If a chef is to be...
I don't think so. I think a lot of that is just for drama.
Right, right. And so the ideal chef is someone who's knowledgeable about technique and food choices and creative with respect to preparations, but also a person who gets along, has a lot of self-control.
I think so. It's always been our mantra. We just, even when we do hire, we always try to make people understand that we don't like any conflict between the front and the back of the house, that everyone has to get along. And if that can't work out, then they're not with us long. So,
are you in charge of the hiring and the firing?
Well, Cliff and I generally have to have a consensus of opinion on people that we interview, and he's a little bit of a coward, so the firing generally goes to me, unfortunately, but I try to do it with a little grace.
And you're still having fun. You sound as though you're having a lot of fun in your work.
It is fun. Well, I don't know if you've met Cliff, but he's a pretty funny guy, so he makes me laugh every day. And one of the things that we said when we first started out is when we bought the inn, that he would run the front and I would run the kitchen, and no matter what disagreement we had at night or during the day, it would never go upstairs, and we've stuck to that. So once we go upstairs, it's over. Whatever we were fighting about, we work it out, and we don't let it seep into our personal life. So.
And
it makes for a happy marriage.
It makes for a happy marriage and happy working partnership.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have children, grown children?
Three daughters.
Three daughters?
Yes.
Are any of them in the professional chef department?
Well, they all had to work at the restaurant while they were growing up. And then my middle daughter, Sue, went off to Culinary Institute of America, and she met her husband, Dave, there, and they are both chefs. But when she found out she was pregnant with twins, they decided to get jobs where they could be with their children. So she's now a nurse, and he's a master plumber. So who knows where life goes.
You're right.
But we all have wonderful meals when we get together. Everybody is a fabulous cook in my family, so it's amazing.
Oh, it must be so much fun. For you to see and experience. Do they still prefer that mother does the cooking, though? Certain dishes?
No, not necessarily. We all kind of just pitch in together. And with eight grandchildren, it's a very busy mealtime when we're all meeting.
Yeah, I'm sure. So generally, you think that it's a wonderful work life to be a chef.
I think it is, yes.
But you would not necessarily advise people to take on that kind of challenge. For instance, two 62-year-olds who decide to retire early to buy an inn in some rural area and one of them to become the chef. Probably that's not as good an idea as some other ideas.
Well, we've watched several of the inns in town go through that, and they just keep being put up for sale. So it really doesn't pan out for them. You know, it's kind of a myth. It sells inns, but it doesn't necessarily make a good retirement or lifestyle change for people. You have to really know what you're doing. Not that I did when I bought the inn, but... which are going to be our 30th year this year, so I guess we figured it out.
You did figure it out, I'm sure.
Somewhere along the way.
Well, our audience, the reason I'm pursuing this thought, is our audience very much is vibrant and young and 43 million strong, and for the most part, healthy. That number is going to grow to 78 million. And these
Amazing.
Vibrant, healthy, successful, for the most part, people
Yes.
are going to want to dream again. They're going to want to grow in new directions and so on. And so some of the interviews that I'm doing are designed to bring a realistic perspective. I interviewed a master gardener, for example, and that's an activity, even if you have it as a hobby, that you really have to like and enjoy.
Yes.
And it sounds to me that being a chef, owning an inn, cooking meals 2 times a day for people sometimes, is something you'd really have to give some thought to if you're going to do it. And you
Absolutely.
Would agree. And you would agree?
I do.
Can you tell me, right off the top of your head, what your favorite foods are?
Oh, I love seafood. And I'm living in the right area. Being on Cape Cod, we have wonderful seafood and such an abundance of it, and so easy to get great seafood that and it has so many good things about it. It's lean, it's nutritious, it's delicious, and so varied.
And amenable to different kinds of combinations and flavors.
Absolutely.
And, right. Is that one of your specialties? Combinations, flavors?
We do a lot of seafood on the menu, and we always enjoy speaking with our fish purveyors every day, finding out what's freshest and what's coming in, and it's so much fun.
In your own restaurant, tell me what your favorite dish is, just today.
I have to say that the seafood curry, which has been with me for 30 years, is still my favorite dish, and it's a house specialty, and people seem to love that. I get hate mail if I try to take that off the menu, so it will always be on there as long as I am. And it's what I like to order if I ever get a chance to eat there.
Oh, you don't get a chance to eat?
Every now and then I do, and that's what I'll have, yeah.
Very good. And one last question. Would you do it all again?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish my dad were still alive to see me doing it, because he would have really been so proud.
The sense of integrity that you feel is apparent in almost every answer you've given me this afternoon.
Oh,
and
thank
I don't
you.
Think there's any better achievement than to feel that integrity as you're going into the, let's say, last 20 years of your cooking career.
Yes,
yes.
I agree.
Well, I am very grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. It was wonderful speaking with you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Thank you to our audience. Thanks for listening. I'm Margaret Rappaport at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia.